On today's show, continuing coverage of the war in Iran, Trump to Iran says, this is your ultimate ultimatum.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined later on the show by ACLJ Jerusalem head Jeff Balaban. Later on, my brother Jordan Seculo joining us from the European Center for Law and Justice headquarters. So it's going to be a packed show, but I do want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, still the news of the day. We are focused, all eyes really are focused on what is happening in Iran right now as the war continues to escalate. There were threats of overnight there being major issues that would happen, major things that we would hear about for decades. Doesn't seem like that was able to be accomplished. Similar voices, I feel like, that we heard during the original war on terror. But here we are.
That's right. As you mentioned, Iran yesterday, through their state media and their troll army that they have unleashed, which is actually pretty remarkable how well they have flooded social media with propaganda and lies about what's going on. But they were teasing out that there would be an event that would be remembered for centuries. And that does not seem to have come to pass. I don't know if their rocket launchers they thought they could use have already been destroyed.
Statement.
Right.
My wife was sitting, we were watching, she was like, yeah, let's turn this off. Like, I think we've seen enough, especially around the kids right now. Because, look, it's not like this war is anything to laugh at or anything to ignore. It is real and it's happening, and President Trump is being questioned a lot about it right now.
That's right. This morning, they were unveiling two new American flagpoles that they have on property at the White House. And one, there was a reporter asking things and many things, and we'll get into this in the next segment as well, but kind of a generic question about the flagpoles. And President Trump had kind of a cryptic answer that he gave, and it also shows the tone of the president, much more confident, much more combative. But let's go ahead and roll bite three as you hear how the question about the flagpoles was responded to by the president of the United States.
Give you the idea to do this.
I've had it for a long time. The first time I had it, but, you know, you guys were after me. I said I had to focus. I was the hunted, and now I'm the hunter. It's a big difference.
Yeah, big difference. Of course, he's talking about specifically, who knows exactly what he's referring to as the hunter, the hunted. There's a lot of discussion of what that all means. But we do need to give him a little setup. He's adding flagpoles to both ends
of the Rose Garden.
Again, cool. Got no problem with it. Feels like some decorative choices, whatever he'd like to do. Doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't necessarily, to me, rise to an importance of national news. But it is what it is when we are seeing this battle wage on. Now, obviously, he's talking about potentially the engagement in Iran, as Iran has targeted President Trump, we know, and Mike Pompeo and a lot of people over the years, very specifically. And now America has at least soft joined the efforts of Israel, I'd say that. Not officially joined, not the same kind of war as you think of. And I think that's also, Will, we got to get out of our heads, that this war will look like something from 2003.
That's right. And we will talk about that in the next segment as well. With all of the reports coming out, you're seeing the New York Times, Politico, Wall Street Journal, that now they're having this discussion. Will the American bombers engage by dropping these bunker busters, as they're called, on some of these nuclear sites in Iran? And some of the answers that President Trump was giving to reporters during this ceremony were cryptic, but also very telling of where his mindset is right now. We'll get into that, as well as taking your phone calls. Call us at 1-800-684-3110 with your thoughts on this. Should the United States engage by using those bunker buster bombs? Call us at 1-800-684-3110.
Later, you're going to hear from Jordan at the ECLJ there at the European Center, and you're going to know why we're there. Of course, you know that we were he made a big moment. Well, maybe we could play that again later on, that he had at the UN just over the last few days. The ACLJ is there, and we're only there because of you, the ACLJ champion. If you're a champion, thank you. And if you haven't yet, consider becoming one right now. So I'm going to encourage you to go to aclj.org or scan the QR code.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. We will be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as Israel continues to strike Iran, now saying they've hit some key Iranian nuke sites. We kind of knew that that was coming. We knew that they've been working on that specifically. Again, they've kind of said this isn't a full-blown war, though Iran has said, hey, we're at war. You've declared war. Israel has pushed back on that, saying, no, we are stopping you from enriching uranium to avoid even a larger war. So it's a little semantics, what we're talking about here. And of course, you've had almost all of the leadership except for the top being taken out. And they've said, hey, we know where you are. We're not coming for you yet, but be careful.
That's right. And this is as you see that there are people leaving Tehran. You are seeing videos surface of people chanting against the Ayatollah in Iran. And you even see the crown prince of Iran, the son of the Shah, who has put out a video calling on the people of Iran to rise up. This is the moment. And even says it will be messy, but we will get through and we will be on the other side of this and we will be able to topple this regime.
Yeah, they've been through this before in terms of a revolution. It can happen. And look, I think that's the difference even between what you're seeing in Gaza. It's easy to kind of conflate everything together. Is actually the Iranian people, for the majority, probably the most part, even though they're silenced often, do not agree with this regime, are not in favor of sort of the dictatorship that has come upon their country.
That's right. There is a diverse mix of people, of religions. Historically,
yeah, we know
there
how many millions of people now.
Right, right. Oh, exactly. Yes,
98
yeah.
million people. Yeah.
But there is, you know, the Baha'i that were persecuted there. Many people that were Baha'i fled Iran because of the persecution they received from the regime. Yeah. But they are, there's
you
a,
meet
long,
a lot of them here.
Long,
in
exactly.
America.
Long history of Persian people, very proud of the Persian identity that they have from Iran, and not necessarily identifying with what Iran has become,
right,
because of the Islamic Republic and revolution.
Pre-70s Iran.
Right. Yeah. There used to be a very strong Christian population, a strong Jewish population in what was Persia.
Yeah.
And since the Islamic Revolution, all of that has been killed off, has been persecuted, has fled, because of what these theocratic, genocidal, death cult dictators do to the people of Iran. But we're also hearing the president be much more direct in things that he is saying. Now, obviously, he's not telling the media, much like, remember when he was campaigning and they said, will you authorize Israel to strike Iran? And he said to the media, I'm not going to tell you that. Who in their right mind would tell you what we would or wouldn't do to forecast that, but they're asking similar questions now. And we should play Bite 9. This is a reporter asking if the president gave an ultimatum to the Iranians. And you'll hear a very Trumpian answer. But I think it also shows the shift in tone that we're seeing from the president.
You could say so. They know what's happening. Maybe you could call it the ultimate ultimatum, right?
What essentially was that, though?
Oh, I don't want to say it. Look, I mean, give me a break.
Give me a break. The ultimate ultimatum is what he said. Of course, it was a little hard to hear that. And sometimes on those lawn interviews, some of the details get a little lost in there. But yeah, essentially she was asked, would you give him an ultimatum? And he said, yeah, you could say that. I gave him the ultimatum. We do. Yeah, go ahead.
And then I love that the reporter goes, what essentially was that, though? And he goes, I'm not going to say, look, give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to tell you what exactly laying it out.
Right? You know, we all know. All right, I want to go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Texas, who's an ACLJ champion with an interesting comment. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, I don't understand why people are puzzling over whether or not America should be involved with any conflict in Iran, because the Iranians hate the United States more than they hate Israel, if that were possible. And the second thing is, I don't understand why the U.S. government has to telegraph if they're going to use this GRU weapon to take out that nuclear facility. Why don't they just do it? Why do they have to say, well, we're thinking about doing this?
Yeah, Bill, I think a lot of people are seeing this moment as a split. They've said this is the split of the MAGA movement, which is, were you the isolationists, the Tucker Carlsons, the people who have pushed for this, what America first meant to them versus what America first maybe means to President Trump? And now you are seeing that divide. And now we're going to see how far people are willing to take it, who they're willing to kind of side with. Because do you side with the commentator or do you side with the President of the United States, who has a lot more information? Do you side with what you felt the whole time, which was this, we don't need to be getting into wars, which I understand, I respect that. Or do you side with military action? And what could happen, and what very well could happen, is you will have this split and this divide where you honestly have people that surround President Trump that are more of the original kind of mainline Republican conservatives. You know, I know you're not going to want to hear this, but the let's say before the war in Iraq went south, but the war on terror conservative Republicans, traditional Republicans. And then you will have those other commentators and those other voices start to become fringe again. Or you have the opposite. When you have a Tucker Carlson going on, though, and saying, I think this is the end of the Trump presidency, I mean, that feels laughably ridiculous.
Well, I think what you're now seeing is the same people that cringe at their own clips, maybe about the Iraq war, are thinking, in 10 years, I want to make sure I have this soundbite so I can look right. Like, these are media personalities and entertainers at their heart. That's really what they care about. I don't know that they fully believe that. If they do, I think they're wrong. But it's hyperbole to say this is the end of the Trump presidency. But one other angle of that is that, yes, in hindsight, the way that the Iraq war was carried out, the way it was beleaguered under President Obama, there is many mistakes the U.S. made, and even whether that was a war that we should have entered, sure. But what we look at is that a lot of the death toll of American troops, because of the type of war, it being a U.S. Putting boots on the ground to try and have regime change and not fully flushing that out in the right way, who was killing American soldiers? It was Iranian proxies. It was Iranian militias that were trying to take over Iraq, that were Shiite militias that aligned with the Ayatollah. They were trying to expand the territory of Iran. But also, if you ask any veteran that was infantry or a special operator that was in Iraq, when they would find weapons caches or they would find IEDs or they would find things in these provinces, the instructions, the labels, everything was from Iran. Iran was fighting the United States in that war in Iraq. It wasn't us fighting Iraqis. So when you think about that as a proxy war, it's not like the United States has not been fighting Iran, I would argue, since the revolution, since 1979. What I do think is different about what President Trump is maybe forecasting or showing is that this isn't going to be an Iraq-style invasion. If the United States gets involved, it is with our Air Force, our Navy, using assets that don't put boots on the ground. We are not going in there. Even the way he's lightly dancing around regime change.
I'm going to save that clip, Will, for you for later. All of a sudden, it's going to then cut to boots on the ground. People,
right, I will be wrong. Fine, whatever. No, no. But what we are seeing right now looks as though
it will be
more of how we took out ISIS. From the air, protecting our installations and troops, and protecting the homeland. Because one thing we forget, they've got these hypersonic and mid-range missiles. Yeah. They've also been developing intercontinental ballistic missiles. You don't use those to hit Israel.
No.
You hit those to hit other continents.
Yeah, so glad Will's here to freak everyone out as we head into this next segment. Jeff Balaban's going to be joining us with an update from Jerusalem. We got a minute and a half. I want to take a quick call. Look how many calls are from the Salem News Channel.
Doing great.
Well, but let's go to Brian, actually, first. Brian in Virginia, go ahead.
Hey, I appreciate your show. I'm the one that called last week, hoping Israel got in the fight. And I'm glad they did, because they're doing the work for not only themselves, but for the rest of the world, Europe, us. And it's not fair that we're not involved. I'm a military veteran. I served in the Army. And we need to get in the fight. I'm not saying boots on the ground, but we need to help them bomb those nuclear sites or whatever else they need. Because
going there, Brian. Brian, yeah. I appreciate your comment, and thank you for calling in again. I think you've said enough of the ultimatums. I do think that we have sort of hit that point. We are at a point of no return. Now, their point of no return will be, do you actually have leadership change? And if you don't have leadership change, what does that look like for Israel? What does that look like for the other countries surrounding Iran? What does it look like for the United States? Because if the end goal is full regime change, then you can't, like you said, you almost can't play that ultimatum game. We're going to check in on ACLJ Jerusalem coming up in the next segment. Obviously, it has been a crazy time to be in Israel. I got a lot of friends there. I saw a lot of just wild videos when you see on their porch the rockets coming in and the missiles coming in and what it looks like and what it feels like to be there right now when things are maybe hotter than they've ever been or they haven't been in a very long time. So we're going to talk about that coming up. We do have three lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. When we're done with Jeff, we'll take some more phone calls. And my brother, Jordan Sekula, will be joining us from the European Center for Law and Justice in just a few moments. We're right back with ACLJ Jerusalem and Jeff Balaban.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We are now joined by Jeff Balaban, ACLJ Jerusalem. Jeff, a lot of eyes, all of our eyes really have been on Israel and Iran over the last few days. A lot of us staying up very late at night watching the coverage as it in real time has unfolded in a pretty significant way. So I just wanted to get your read on how things are from your perspective, because for us, we're seeing it's dominating the news. It has become the number one story once again. You know, we just got out of the riots that were going on in California. That seemed to be the dominant story. And then it was moving on. And very quickly, the U.S. seems to have found itself once again, hopefully joining Israel to do what's probably been needed to be done for a very long time.
Yeah, look, it's there's definitely a sense of, if not quite fog of war, just everything is in motion. And the points you guys just made in the last segment, it's not wise to telegraph everything. Communications do or should come out for tactical and strategic purposes. Honestly, I mean, always from the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Israel. And for that matter, the leadership of Iran, that, I mean, they are issuing communiques that they think are in their interests. So when the history books are written, it's unclear what all of these passing days mean as they go by. Here's what we see quantitatively and qualitatively. We know certain numbers. We know how many targets Israel has hit. We know at some level, we have some intel about what the threat was. We know what the experience is like, certainly here on the ground. And of course, yes, the big question is, what will America do? What will the president do in the coming days? And the signals seem to have taken a big turn in the last 24 hours, as you guys have been talking about. It's very important. He's seeming to take more ownership and more siding with what Israel is doing, and whether that's a result of Israel having obvious early successes, really extraordinary successes, and the Iranians really not so far being able to mount a successful comeback, or, you know, the fact that the Ayatollah, he really has nowhere to go. That's the truth. The problem is demanding his surrender. What is his option? So he doesn't really represent a nation. He's captive. He holds a nation captive. And so what's going to happen to him largely is going to be a result not of what America or Israel does directly, but how the Iranian people react to that. And then, of course, is the question, will America drop bunker busters or give Israel the ability to have the bunker busters dropped? It really has to be American fighter jets that do it, because Israel doesn't have the, I think, the wherewithal to drop them. But and could they even do the job? I don't think it's clear that that's the case. So there are so many unknowns right now, but we know here on the ground in Israel, yes, we're all watching it very carefully, and we're all very tired because the sirens keep on going out throughout the night.
Jeff, one thing that you and I have talked about as well, while we here on this broadcast are very supportive of Israel, for the survival of Israel, for the protection of Israel, but I think one thing that needs to happen here in the United States, especially if the U.S. were to get involved with this, is that there are loud voices that are able to say this isn't in the U.S. interest, we're just going to fight Israel's war, they're dragging us into another war, when the reality of Iran having a nuclear weapon is theoretically not just a threat against Israel. It is a threat to America. It is an existential threat in many cases, depending on how they would choose to use that. And like yesterday on the broadcast, I went through what the enrichment process is and why 60% there's no use for other than getting to weapons-grade uranium. That every time they say it's peaceful civilian use, that's a lie. But also we know about their ballistic missiles program, which was in part financed by the JCPOA by freeing up hundreds of billions of dollars for them to develop the mid-range hypersonic missiles, things that we've already seen used. But we also know they have been developing intercontinental ballistic missiles as well. We would not let a death cult like ISIS have 60% enriched uranium, because we would say they are not rational actors and should not be able to have that, and we would take it out. That is the equivalent of what we are talking about here with the Iranian mullahs that are desperately trying to get to that 90% threshold.
Yeah, now, first of all, your delivery on why the Iranians are pursuing this and what they're actually pursuing, I hope it's up on the website, and I hope we direct people to it regularly, because it's the best, or certainly one of the best. No, the best explanation, most succinct and clear explanation, I think that people need to see, Americans need to understand that this is a very serious threat, because people still, and you know, you referred to them earlier, they really are just entertainers who are making a buck and endangering America while they're doing so, because people take it seriously and they have great political influence. These the nuclear weapons that Iran is absolutely trying to achieve and is extremely close to achieving represent a direct and actually existential threat to the United States. And I know we don't want to terrify everybody, but there are government reports that make very clear that in very likely, very easy to arrange circumstances, if nuclear weapons launched by someone like Iran, specifically named Iran, would hit the continental United States or achieve its airspace, it could shut down our entire grid. It literally becomes an existential threat, not just to the idea of the United States of America and the government, but to the lives of every man, woman, and child in America. And so Israel is not asking America to fight Israel's war at all. And everyone trying to use this as a way to separate Israel from America, it's terrifying for Americans, because Americans need to know more and better information about what the risks are to us. Well, I'm in Jerusalem now, but to us, the Americans, and to our families. And this is the war that Israel is fighting, and this is all imminent and real, and that's what's taking place now. And the role that America should be playing, thank God President Trump has kept the door open, although there are people around him who are fighting against it. And it's important that we here at ACLJ give out as much of this information as possible. And let me say one more thing here, which is the notion that, well, this can't be good because the Iraq war wasn't good. That's like saying we should have no more FBI investigations because the Mueller investigation was corrupt. It's just nonsensical. The answer is the right people waging the right war at the right time is absolutely necessary. That's what brought down Hitler. I mean, that was the revolution right for the United States of America. That's what the Civil War. You have to have wars when you have to have them. You cannot say no more war ever. And we didn't dictate this one. The Iran's run to nuclear weapons and ICBMs is exactly what dictated this.
Well, I had a lot of those conversations with my friends who were like, well, you know, you're a Christian, shouldn't you be fully anti-war? And it's like, yes, of course, in a perfect world, there would be no war. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world, and we live in a world where there is war. And if there is war, you have to at least decide how you're going to be represented. And I think, to me, this one, where I can vehemently disagree with my friends on the left who you know, don't like the war in Gaza and have concerns with that. This one to me is actually a much easier one to jump to go, okay, but this is a direct threat to you, the American people, what's been going on in Iran. So to me, it's like, this is the almost the logical one that you should be able to look at without a political bias. And look, I understand not wanting to get involved in war. And I see some of the comments coming in saying this, but if it comes to the actual threat to the American people, it couldn't really be clearer.
Logan, if someone were attacking your friends, forget you, Logan, if they're attacking their family, their children with weapons of destruction to kill them, they would want someone to stop that. That's all that's happening now. That's exactly that. And people need to understand that. And maybe it's important to show them how direct the threat this is to their families. And this is where this gets stopped before it lands in America. That's what Trump was elected to do, by the way, not just to solve our borders, but to keep violence from outside America, from coming into America. Israel's waging this war right now. The question is, how much will America help them stop the violence from coming to hurt American families?
Look, we've been doing a lot of promotion here, Jeff. Thank you for joining us from ACLJ Jerusalem. I'm sure we'll hear from you later this week or next week, because we have been working tirelessly, whether through our team in Jerusalem or Jordan at the UN, because we are defending Israel every place that we can. That could be at the Human Rights Council in Geneva. That could be that we are submitting briefs to the International Criminal Court in support of Israel. And we have just days ago, we filed a major lawsuit to the United Nations about this. We are deeply involved. We need you to join with us. Show your support of Israel during these really trying times. Become an ACLJ champion. Do it today. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. My brother Jordan Seculo is going to be joining us live from the ECLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, giving you updates of what he has been doing. I want to take some phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are continuing the discussion about what is going on with the war in Iran, whether America is getting involved, at what stage you're getting involved. You had that sort of contentious conversation between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz that I think will be released in full either later today. And we've seen this sort of split that's starting to happen. Look, I see it in our comments. While the mass majority of you are supportive of Israel, I do see some derogatory and some just serious concerns. We had people like Tulsi Gabbard. We had people who were on our team before because we like a diverse group of opinions. We also have Mike Pompeo. We have a lot of different people weighing in on where we should be landing. But when it comes to Israel, you know where we stand. We have not wavered a second for the last 35 years on our support of Israel. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Fred. A lot of you are calling, by the way, from the Salem News Channel, which is available 24/7, and you can watch us on it live from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. But Fred in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Hey, Seculo. My main question is, I hear, I do support the bombing portion of the Iranian nuclear facilities. My question, though, is, how much money and weaponry have we given Israel that they can't just take care of it on their own? Why is it that we need to involve U.S. troops?
Yeah, I think that that's a real question, Fred. I think that's okay to ask that. Just like with any wars that we are involved in, even via proxy, to go win is enough. What is that line? Of course, you're going to have countries that are always coming to America asking for help because we have such a strong economy and such a strong military background. You can look at it that way and go, okay, when is enough?
Well, and here's the answer to that, Fred. And one of the reasons why the United States hasn't had to be a part of this initially is that Israel has a very strong air force. They have very strong technology. A lot of that has been developed in tandem with the United States. A lot of it has been developed by United States companies that we allow them to purchase. Sometimes military aid that we think of isn't just giving things to Israel, but is allowing them to purchase it. So these agreements that happen between the United States and Israel, one of the things that they don't have, that the United States has, and we keep very close to our chest as far as our military capabilities, is these massive ordnance penetrator bombs. That is what we refer to as the bunker buster bomb.
I know that's a new term for everyone. I feel like everyone just started using bunker buster out of nowhere, and it was like we're all just supposed to understand what that is.
Well, and these
I think it's pretty descriptive.
These are, they call them MOPs. That's the official term. We call them bunker busters. 30,000-pound bomb that can penetrate deep into the earth, into the side of a mountain, where these fortified underground facilities that Iran has. Israel has done really good things with hitting tunnels by successively bombing a spot, but a bomb like this, it is able to get deep underground and cause this damage. We don't just give these to anyone. Israel actually doesn't have the type of bombers needed to deploy it. So in order to use this, in order to finish off the regime's nuclear program at Fordow, they would need something like this. Maybe not. Maybe there's sabotage. Maybe there's other things. That's why, though, a lot of the eyes are on the United States of, if we really are supporting them taking out the nuclear program and they can never have it, instead of just delaying, could we end it by using some of these bombs? And that's why it's not necessarily troops. It is air support and an air campaign, not a invasion infantry style thing like we saw in the Middle East in the past.
We got a couple lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, that's John in Oklahoma, Jack, Pennsylvania, Michael in Florida, and again, three lines open now for you, 1-800-684-3110. We will get to you. Coming up next, though, we're going to head to Europe. We'll be joined by Jordan Seculo. He is over there, my brother. A lot of top-level meetings, and they're getting stuff done. It's really amazing what the European Center for Law and Justice does. I know it's easy to just worry about what's going on in our own country, and I understand that, but you have to take a broader look at what's going on around the world. We're going to do that coming up with Jordan, but phone lines are open. We just lost one call, so you know what? Four lines are open. This is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. My brother Jordan Seculo is joining us live now from the offices of the European Center for Law and Justice. And Jordan, there's a lot of news going on, a lot of work that you have been doing there. And I want to give you a moment to at least explain why we're there and why you've been there for so long and what you've been working on.
Well, you know, we started out in Hungary, then we were in Geneva, and we're back at our headquarters in Strasbourg, France, where we've been a couple of times during this trip. Today, we were meeting actually with the ambassador from Hungary to the Council of Europe, their permanent representative. We're hosting a reception tonight at the European Center for Law and Justice with a number of members of the European Parliament. And some of those members of the European Parliament, Logan, also, and the ambassador, he'll be joining us. Some other ambassadors will also be joining us tonight here at the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. Many of these ambassadors are coming from governments, and the members of the European Parliament are coming from political parties that actually are pretty much in line with where we are politically. And that is quite a statement to make. I know I've been making it in Hungary. I've been making it on the broadcast the last couple of days, but I'll make it again one more time. It's quite a statement to make that we have elected members of the European Parliament, including some national elected leaders, who are now favoring a U.S.-style conservatism. I mean, everybody, each country's got their own unique way of looking at that, and I wouldn't want to put our entire system on them. But what I think is really cool is that we now are entering a stage in Europe, and I think it's a dire moment in the world, but we're entering a stage in Europe because of our decades of work here, that we have elected representatives to now work with who share our values, who share our goals, and want to see the legal fight that we brought. We are working very closely. This is the first time I've said this on the air, or anyone has, from the ACLJ or ECLJ, with Marine Le Pen, who is, of course, a former presidential candidate in France. Her party, the National Rally, got the most votes in the last presidential election, but they could not find a coalition partner. There is another election coming up in France in just a couple of years, and there is a ban, a lower court, the court of first impression, so kind of like our district courts that we've been talking about so much, that has banned her from running in the next election. And we are going to have some big announcements to make about what we are doing, what the ECLJ is doing to preserve election integrity, the right for people to vote for those who for elected office that they want to vote for. Some big announcement coming up next month. But I will tell you, we'll have a number of members from her party, the National Rally, at the European Center for Law and Justice tonight. Members from the Vox Party, the Fidesz Party in Hungary, the parties in Romania. And so we're seeing this all over Europe and Italy. You just heard me go through another list of countries in Spain and others where, again, this is, and Logan, you've been to this office before many times. We both kind of grew up coming to here as it began. It would be pretty unheard of when we first started coming here to have members, elected members of the European Parliament or ambassadors from countries to the Council of Europe who are politically sided with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the long play of being there as well. You know, this wasn't a setup for the ECLJ 25 years ago to get in, fix some things and get out. It's about having these long-term investments, these long-term plans, because finally they do start to, not that we haven't had a lot of wins. We've had a lot of great wins. A lot of big things have happened, but the relationships are built over the course of decades. And so is the legitimacy of the organizations.
That's right. That's right. You say that right on the bat, that the legitimacy of the organizations, the fact that we are having major political leaders, whether it is the Prime Minister of Hungary, a leading presidential candidate in France, coming to the ECLJ, that is part of being here long term and putting in the hard work, the boots on the ground, as I've talked about. I think we got away from that a little bit. People maybe didn't see it the same way because we couldn't visualize it the same way during those COVID years. But we've been, over the last really 2 and 3 years since then, working back up, not because we stopped any of the work we were doing. Our team was doing all of the work, maybe even more so because these political movements were starting to happen. But what we are seeing now is the fruits of that work. And now we actually have a lot more work to do and a lot more work that I think our audience will understand the importance of. Being at the United Nations, Logan, I realized how few allies we have in governments around the world, true U.S. allies. And I think President Trump leaving the G7 early, which is supposed to be a group of, you know, very close allies, just shows you how weak some of those allegiances actually are.
Well, in Jordan, as you mentioned, that we're able to now work on things that are our priorities now to see happen in Europe, but also that are priorities for the freedom that America enjoys, seeing that around the world. And I think to explain to our audience, you know, when you're starting to see this this sea change to some degree, seeing that people that can be ideological partners in Europe that we didn't have even in the entire history of the ECLJ, what does that mean for the audience back home? I mean, at the same time, we have a very America first type movement in ideology in the United States. Right. It still is very important that we can support partners in different parts of the world that believe in religious liberty, that believe in freedom of speech, and that believe in not weaponizing the government against your political enemies in what are supposed to be the freedom moral equivalents to the United States in Europe. And how does that work? And how does it really matter to the people back here at home?
Well, just imagine this. Imagine instead of Emmanuel Macron as president of France, President Marine Le Pen. Imagine what that could be like for U.S.-French relations and the power that that could assert for good around the world. And I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about the power of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, against anti-Semitism, against some of the Islamization of the radical left that we've seen in our country and that Western Europe is experiencing as well. This is something that we used to only maybe dream of, and it would be kind of a crazy dream. This could be a reality now, Will, that we have great conservative allies throughout Western Europe to counter the extreme left and the money that has poured in, unfortunately, from our country, from billionaire liberal class and their organizations, to make sure that these globalists got elected who were very anti-American and especially anti-American whenever conservatives or Republicans happen to be in charge. Just imagine a world where you have conservative leaders in France, in Poland, in Spain. We do have one right now in Italy. Imagine that movement taking over Western Europe. In Germany, there's a political party on the rise right now being heavily persecuted as well. Again, they were labeled enemies of the state because they espouse many of the free market kind of libertarian ideas that we do. Imagine that world. That's a safer world. That's a world with less war, but it's also a world where we have better friends to cooperate on economic issues, on trade issues, on so many different issues. And culturally, I think it's good for people to realize back at home that just like how when President Biden was our president, he didn't represent all of Americans' political views, neither do most of these current European leaders. And we're seeing that being chipped away at very rapidly right now so that we can have real alliances that of not just kind of, oh, we agree on some issues globally, but that we agree on even domestic issues at home and that we can work together instead of criticizing each other at international institutions or even in bilateral or trilateral type negotiations. So the ability to just host these receptions, it's not just to throw a fancy party with diplomats. These are people coming because they want to be at the European Center for Law and Justice. They know I'm going to be speaking tonight from the American Center for Law and Justice. They know our connections to current President Trump. They know the work that we've done there. They know the work that we're doing now. And I think that's very exciting. And Will, it's just another reason why, and Logan, another reason why people can support the work of the ACLJ. And again, the global work, how it comes home to roost back in the United States as well. And we don't want to, again, totally isolate ourselves from the world. That doesn't mean wars. That means peaceful ways, like building these partnerships, fighting it out in legal systems, bringing the fight there against lawfare, which is a word I've heard so often, Will and Logan, from these European representatives, that is now part of their English dialogue that they've learned to utilize, is the term lawfare, a term we hope and pray never made its way to the United States. It did. It's now in Europe. We saw that, of course, initially utilized against the state of Israel. And I think we'll continue, unfortunately, to see that utilized against the state of Israel. But let's put a stop to it in our home in the United States. Let's put a stop to it in our what should be some of our best allies in the world in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why the ECLJ is there. Remember that it's a lot closer to home when there is a war even breaking out in the Middle East. That's why we have our team there at the ECLJ. That's why we have the ACLJ Jerusalem staff. All of that exists because of people like you. And look, we got one more segment left. I want to hear from you. Give me a call right now at 1-800-684-3110. We'll do our best to get to as many calls as we possibly can. So if you have thoughts on anything that happened this show or even our work internationally, why it's important, it's something that's very close to home for all of us, for Jordan and I and for our entire family and for the ACLJ and the ECLJ. It's been a part of our story for most of our lives. So support it. Do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. Give monthly. Again, ACLJ.org. Right back with your phone calls coming up.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We do have a ton of calls. We're going to do our best to get to as many as absolutely possible. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's go to Jack, who's calling, listening, or watching on the Salem News Channel. Again, you can get that Salem News Channel at salemnewschannel.com or through the app or through Pluto or Samsung Plus. It's available there. We're there live every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Jack, you're on the air.
Okay. The United States and Israel are not obligated to anybody to refrain from using the bunker buster, assassinate Khomeini, or whatever. The damage and destruction that they've Iranian government has wrought on American soldiers, hundreds of American soldiers in the past, would merit our response to it. We should do whatever is necessary to bring that government down and to destroy their ability to build nuclear weapons.
Jack,
we're obligated to the Americans and the Israelis to use whatever means is necessary to destroy that country.
Jack, I think you hold a very traditional point of view that maybe there are that new group of you'd say, quote-unquote, Republicans, of MAGA Republicans that came in during this last 4 years who don't necessarily hold that same similar point of view. Now, I am more like you, Jack, where I see where there are these global threats. There are some times where you have to take action. I am hopefully, if a bunker buster is what's needed to get done to actually have pure, real regime change there, good. I'm happy that can happen. Now, if it doesn't happen, I don't know where you go from here. And I think that's a little bit of everyone's concern, which is if it's not just we're taking out these sites, these nuke sites, where does it end?
Well, and to that point as well, the United States hasn't had a great track record of regime change.
Yeah,
so perhaps what we're seeing play out is exactly what needs to happen, Jack, is that the United States and Israel cripple the regime. They cripple their ability to hold on to power. And we know that there is a very strong opposition within Iran that has not had the support of American leadership in the past. We always call back to the Green Revolution under President Obama's years, I believe it was 2009, that was a very real opportunity for the people of Iran to rise up. But there was not international support for it. Instead, by default, the American government sided with the mullahs and with the Ayatollah by not showing any sort of support for them overthrowing or determining their own destiny in Iran, instead being under the grip of a theocratic dictator that we see that still is in charge today. So I think crippling the ability of the regime to hold on to power and having the Iranian people, and Iran is a very advanced country compared to some of the other Middle Eastern countries, very high-level engineers and doctors and things like that within Iran, that they could really turn it into a shining beacon in the Middle East again.
It'd be nice to see that. It'd be nice to see that culture be able to rise up. Let's go to John in Oklahoma. Line six, watching on Facebook. Oh, we went to John of Florida. Now we just lost John of Florida. John of Florida, call back if you're listening. John in Oklahoma, though, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are y'all doing today?
Good. Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you, John. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I'm one of the survivors of the 1996 bombing of Khobar Towers in Dahran, Saudi Arabia, that was funded by Iran. And I have an opinion on this matter here.
All right, John, go ahead. We I don't want to cut you off, and we are going to run out of time at some point, John, so go ahead with your comment. Okay. You're on the air.
Okay. In 1995, OPM Sangs, which is the Office of Personnel Management of Saudi Air National Guard, they were bombed, and it was a 200-pound bomb.
Right.
It was Iran-funded militias that did it. And afterwards, you know, our Department of Defense and State Department and everything, they just assumed that the next one would be that size. And that's what we pretty much prepared for. It was not, though. It was, well, there's dispute in between DOD and the State Department on the size, but it was a 20,000-pound bomb. The crater was 35 feet deep and 85 feet wide. It would look just like the front of the mural building in Oklahoma City. It was the same type deal. It killed 19 of us and injured 500 of us, including myself. I was close then. I was real close. Killed one guy on
John,
my shop.
John, what's your thoughts about what's going on right now? Because obviously you've been through it.
My thoughts is, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and we cannot assume that they do not have one. We've made assumptions in the past, and just like I just explained, what did that get us? It got 19 Americans killed.
John, we understand your thoughts and your feelings, and look, I hate to cut you off, but we are just running low on time. But know that what you've done for the country, you're serving the country, everything that you've done, means a lot to us here, and we appreciate you calling in. Stay on hold. If you call in another day, we'll do our best to even get more of your story, because I would like to hear it from your point of view. I'm going to kick over to Michael, who's calling in Washington. Michael, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all your work. I just think that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's out of a country western song. But anyway, I think we need to take the case has been made. They cannot have a nuclear weapon in Iran. And we need to take those bunker buster bombs, go over there, and take care of the business.
Michael, I think a lot of people feel that way. There's a lot of comments coming in of people who feel like they're standing with you in that. Definitely a lot of people who are concerned about everything that's going on within our country. Yes, let's go ahead. And was that a new caller, or is that the same? It's not the same guy? All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for new calls today, so let's go ahead. Sorry, Tim and John, weren't able to get to you today, but try back tomorrow, because we do want to give you a minute to really think about supporting the work of the ACLJ, because it is a need. It is a time when we need to be working on it, Will.
That's right. And as that caller from Oklahoma talked about in the Khobar Towers, that the assumption was prior to that bombing that Iran's little skirmishes would just be small, but they are willing to go bigger. They are willing to attack U.S. military personnel. Even like we had a survivor on today, there are many Americans that have not survived the attacks of the Iranians. And that's why we stand with Israel in this action. And we stand with the president to protect America and the American homeland.
Yep, absolutely. I want to say thank you again to everyone who's called in. Look, I know that this is a hot topic. This is one that there will be split. There will be people who are on both sides of this issue, concerned with Americans getting involved, concerned for their kids, and then obviously concerned what it means if we are even able to accomplish something, because we've all been burned a little before by what war has meant in our lifetime. I think it's okay to ask those questions, but it's also okay to understand that supporting Israel and what Israel is doing right now is the right thing to do, and that the American people are still behind Israel. And when you have a moment now where you have to have some clarity, where you go, okay, am I siding with commentators that are doing stuff and saying stuff for clicks and for ads? Or am I standing up for what is right? And look, again, you have to make that decision on your own. That's why we have such a myriad of voices here. But a great way to support us is just going to ACLJ.org. Check out the great content. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.